And you're welcome to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you as always until 5. We hope you're doing all right, enjoying the summer despite the Irish weather. And it's All-Ireland semi-finals weekend in football. The primary focus of the show today is this. Drew Wiley, Kevin Nolan and Sean O'Sullivan will preview Dublin versus Monaghan and Kerry against Derry from about 1:30 on the show. We'll also have Colin Boyle at Croke Park to look ahead and give us the wrap on the Charlton Cup final involving Meath and Down. That throws in at 3. The Tour de France is ongoing, so where's pro cycling right now? What is the health of the sport? We'll chat to Irish rider Eddie Dunbar, is doing so well, the recently retired Dan Martin and rider Shane Stokes on the Saturday panel. That's coming up between 3 and 4. It's been a dramatic 24 hours for the Republic of Ireland Women's World Cup squad with an injury to Denise O'Sullivan, the key midfielder. We'll check in with our reporter Kathleen McNamee from Brisbane. And the Ireland under-20s men's rugby team lost their world final to France yesterday, but not their pride. Fiona Hayes will reflect on the tournament. 53106, the text number at the cost of 30 cents. You want to get in touch with us, give us a shout out if you're on the way to Croke Park as a passenger, or if you can tweet us as well if you'd like this afternoon at Off the Ball. We'll start off the show as always with the news round. Aidan Delaney, Wexford's finest, is in studio with us, and Carl Mullaney will be joining us in a moment. Aidan, this was a bit of a mad 24 hours for the women's team. Not a World Cup for Ireland without a bit of drama.
No, that's it. And a Cork midfielder at the centre of it once again.
Yeah.
Republic of Ireland manager Vera Pauw says that Denise O'Sullivan could still feature in next week's World Cup opener against Australia. The midfielder suffered a shin injury in yesterday's behind-closed-doors friendly with Colombia. The game was abandoned after just 20 minutes of play. That was after the exchanges became overly physical, according to the FAI. A scan has revealed O'Sullivan didn't sustain any bone fracture, so that's good news. But Pauw says they will have contingency plans just in case.
We played against Zambia without Denise. We won 3-2. Germany lost 3-2 from Zambia. We have a squad that the knowledge of their tasks and the execution, everybody of those tasks, everybody's at the highest level of their own capacities. And what I just said, Denise is out of category. And of course, that's a complete different story. But we will be ready. We know all the scenarios. Every single scenario has been discussed over the last period. Hence the choices, the harsh choices that we had to make for the players that we brought in. And this is one of them. What do we do if she's injured? What do we do if she's injured? What do we do if she gets injured? Those scenarios are ready. For every single player, the scenarios are ready, and also for Denise.
Look, hopefully she'll be okay, and that's the, I mean, hopefully the injury's not going to rule her out of the Australia game, because we have to have her in the team.
Yeah, she's such a key component of the team, you know, over 100 caps, and, you know, it's just kind of bizarre to think that, you know, these players are coming in to, you know, what is essentially a friendly, a kind of a warm-up game to get ready for the tournament, and Colombia have just gone all out. You know, we aren't direct opponents for Colombia. It's not like we're going to come up against them later in the tournament. This just seemed to be a couple of players. This was kind of their second side, their second string, and maybe a couple of those players wanted to leave a marker maybe and show the manager that they should be involved, and that's why they've kind of gone out. And like two yellow cards inside 19 minutes, and then this what seems to be a horror tackle on Denise O'Sullivan. I mean, it just seems pretty bizarre from the Colombians' point of view. And Ireland were probably right, and I know they've got a little bit of criticism online about, you know, this is what you should expect at a World Cup and all that kind of stuff, but I think Ireland had to take their players off and make sure that they're protected, because they are the other side of the world. It's not like players can just pop over, and, you know, if there is any injury concerns, we'll hear from Kathleen later on just about, you know, who is lined up to come in should Denise not be able to take her place. But yeah, it's just bizarre from the Colombians, and, you know, maybe that might pay for them later on down the line too.
I just want this to be underway now, Cathal Mullaney. I just want this to start, and I want a positive story.
Yeah, it's
dragging on a bit, it feels,
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, it's been a bizarre, like, 24 hours for the Republic of Ireland squad, and it is quite a long lead into the tournament, from qualifying to travelling to Australia and acclimatising there, and now waiting for next Thursday to come around. I suspect that the squad and the camp will be a little bit upset that the preparations obviously have been... you know, they've been upset really with what happened yesterday in that match. But Vera Pauw's press conference, she seems quite relatively upbeat about O'Sullivan playing some part in the campaign, whether next Thursday comes around a little bit quickly perhaps, but the next 48 hours, as Vera Pauw said, is going to be very important to see if O'Sullivan's going to be fit. And, you know, really, we really hope that she will be, because she's such an integral part of that Irish team.
4 o'clock, Cathy McNamee from Brisbane. We will get an update and a sense of what's going to happen in this Women's World Cup. So we had League of Ireland action last night here. Aidan.
We did. Jonathan Afolobi continuing his goal-scoring streak last night to rescue a point for Bohemians in the Premier Division. His fourth in as many games salvaged a 1-1 draw away to Dublin rivals Shelburne in the big game of the night. Elsewhere, Drogheda were 3-1 winners away to UCD. Two teams in danger of finishing in the relegation playoff spot meet this evening in the Showgrounds. That's Sligo playing Cork City from 7:45. In the First Division then, Galway United extended their lead at the top of the table to 16 points last night. That's thanks to a 1-0 win away to Athlone. There were three red cards shown at the Carlisle grounds, where Wexford came out on top, beating Bray 3-0, and Finn Harps beat Cove Ramblers 4-3 in a Ballybuffet thriller. Tonight, Longford Town entertain Kerry.
I thought Declan Rice had gone to Arsenal. Is it still going on, this story?
It seems to have been confirmed now. An agreement has been reached for Captain Declan Rice to leave West Ham for a British record fee. The England midfielder made a total of 245 appearances, his last as he lifted the Europa Conference League trophy in Prague. He's expected to sign for Arsenal imminently, and he has said his goodbyes on Instagram, which seems to be the big kind of turning point in transfers these days.
How is Edwin van der Sar at the moment?
Yeah, some not great news here. He's been moved from Croatia to a Dutch hospital, but will remain in intensive care. The former Netherlands and Manchester United goalkeeper had received treatment in Split last week while on holiday after suffering bleeding around the brain. Van der Sar's family says the situation remains the same. He's stable, in a non-life-threatening condition, and he is communicative.
We wish him a speedy recovery. So, they're all on their way to Croker, whether it's on foot from Dublin or in the car or wherever on the bus from Monaghan.
Yeah, Monaghan looking to defy the odds at Croke Park this evening in the first of this weekend's All-Ireland football semi-finals. They're taking on Dublin, where throw-in is at 5:30, and 32 years after meeting in the All-Ireland final, Meath and Down renew acquaintances, but this time in the Charlton Cup final. That's the curtain raiser at HQ today, with throw-in at 3:00.
Also a repeat of last year's final in the quarterfinals of the Women's Football Championship, Tralee hosting Kerry and Meath from 7:30. The knockout action beginning at 1:30 in Salt Hill. Galway playing Mayo. Armagh taking on Cork at the Athletic Grounds. Cathal Mullany, why do the Ulster teams play this defensive football? Because it just seems to me, if they both go behind Monaghan and Derry this weekend, they're going to have to open up. They're going to have to come at Kerry and Dublin, and that'll expose them.
Yeah, but I think in Monaghan's case, they've shown already this season that they're capable of getting key scores down the closing stretch. They'll try and keep it as tight as they can, and if that requires playing defensive football, I think that they will today. And it's an awful day weather-wise in Dublin at the moment. Whether it clears up before throwing at 5:30, I'm not sure, but that might play into Monaghan's hands a little bit too. I do think Dublin have shown, particularly that second half against Mayo, that they're really coming to form at the crucial moment. You look at their bench again today, the power that they have to come off the bench if they want it in the second half. It's very hard to look past them. But Monaghan, if they play that defensive style, I think they're very good on the break. Their wing backs, particularly Conor McCarthy, has been outstanding this season in terms of getting scores. I think he's probably the leading contender from a Monaghan point of view for an all-star, depending on how tonight goes, of course. But the case for Monaghan, I think, is quite strong, because they can keep it tight. I think if they can keep it tight and are within shouting distance with 10 minutes to go, I think Dublin would be quite nervous at that point, because Monaghan have shown they have the capacity to get the key scores at that stage.
Dublin have never lost 3 All-Ireland semi-finals in a row in their history. Obviously, they lost to Mayo and Kerry over the last couple of years. Do you see a similar situation then with Derry?
I think that's a really intriguing matchup tomorrow. Derry are coming in a little bit under the radar, even though they had such a good campaign in Ulster. It's going to be very difficult for Kerry to break them down. Derry are very difficult to play against. I think Derry do have the best midfield pairing in the country as well, with Conor Glass and Brendan Rodgers are very mobile. And, you know, David Clifford, Paddy Clifford, Sean O'Shea aren't going to have a whole lot of space, you would think, tomorrow. And it's going to be quite a difficult afternoon for them. It's going to be really intriguing if they can break that down. You probably will give Kerry the nod by a couple of points, but if Derry can, again, stay in the game for as long as they can, they do have talented forwards. Shane McGuigan is one of the best in the country. And I suspect they'll try and keep the score as low as they can in that match, just to try and keep tabs on those Kerry forwards. But I think Derry are in with a huge chance.
I feel Monaghan and Derry both need goals, and probably at least 2 goals in each case.
It's very hard to see them getting past otherwise. I think you do kind of put the great stock of Monaghan is the fact that they can keep themselves in games. And, you know, this game this evening could possibly go to extra time maybe, and that's where we'll really see where Dublin are challenged. And obviously Dublin have a massive bench that they can call on, and the likes of Kieran Kilkenny, Dean Rock can still play a role in this side. I do think that Dublin, you know, we saw them absolutely blow Mayo away in that second half, and it's just hard to see if Monaghan can keep up those kind of fitness levels that we've seen from them all year. We saw with the rugby last night as well, that sometimes you just get to this emotional pitch and one kind of hammer blow, and with the form that Colin Boscoyle is on at the minute, you can just see him getting a goal maybe 55 minutes in, and that could kind of break a couple of hearts and Dublin might stroll to the victory then. But I think if Monaghan can keep themselves in the game, you know, kind of within 2, 3, 4 points with about 10 minutes to go, you would kind of back them to kind of bring the game into maybe extra time. But I think there's just too much quality on this Dublin side, and it looks like a Dublin Kerry final.
Dublin by 5, Kerry by 3 for me.
Right.
Hard to argue with that, I'd say.
Do you argue?
I wouldn't argue, no. But I do think if Monaghan can keep it tight, I think if you look at Dublin's matches this year against Roscommon in the group match in the All-Ireland phase, against Kildare in Leinster, against kind of packed defences, if you like, they did struggle. So maybe if Monaghan adopt that approach, they will make it really difficult.
Okay, rugby news, and a disappointing 24 hours for the under-20s, but obviously huge pride as well that they can take from this tournament.
Yeah, Richie Murphy saying his Ireland players can hold their heads high despite defeat in the World Under-20 Championship final last night. They conceded 7 tries in a 50-point-to-14 defeat to France in Cape Town last night. And it has been a long and emotional journey for this young Irish side. And speaking after the game, Captain Gus McCarthy says they just came up against a side that's in red-hot form.
You know, all credit to the French. They put us to a place we hadn't been before. You know, really struggled defensively. But, you know, I'm really proud of the boys. We stuck in there and gave it our all, as you saw. Always chasing back. Things didn't go away today as we planned. But, you know, we'll keep our heads held high. We fought hard this tournament. And, as I said, very proud of the boys. Unbelievable job.
Made it very difficult for you. Could not get that production from your line-out.
Yeah, you know, our line-out struggled, as you said. Full credit to the French. They obviously did their work on us, did their analysis, and just came down to our drill. Wasn't good enough on the day. So, yeah, that's it.
You've been challenged a lot in this tournament, but the side stuck together.
Yeah, you know, it couldn't be, as I said, like, couldn't get a better group of lads. You know, we stuck together no matter what, and we're still stick together now. You know, we would have liked a better performance today, but unfortunately, just things didn't work out.
France look amazing. That's what I just took out of that game, and it's nothing on Ireland.
No, and I think you have to just hold your hands up and say that, you know, France have done this to every single side they've come up against in this tournament. And, you know, there was a bit of positivity going into the game. Obviously, Ireland had beaten France in that thriller back in the Six Nations. And when you look at that French team, a lot of those players are, I think it was Alan Quinlan was saying last night, I think 13 of them have played some sort of senior rugby for French sides this year. So these aren't just kind of development players. These are players that are starting, that are, you know, making an impact in French rugby as we speak. So it was very, you know, heartbreaking to see the Irish kind of just falter in that second half a little bit. But when you think about the long emotional journey that they have been on, this kind of result probably was coming, and against a side that can really put you to the sword. And, you know, it's kind of devastating to see that another Tuilagi is on the scene and he's doing damage to Irish teams once again. But the Irish side have to hold their heads up high. They didn't have their you know, kind of first 15 out last night. There was a couple of, you know, players have had to leave the camp due to outside reasons and some disciplinary issues and stuff like that throughout the tournament. So for the 15 players and everybody in that squad that came onto the field last night, they really gave a good account of themselves. And unfortunately, like Gus McCarthy said there, France are just an amazing team, and sometimes that happens in sport.
Fiona Hayes will reflect about 2:40 on that tournament involving Ireland's under-20s. Only lost one game all year, which was against France. Just to let you know, folks, Off the Ball coming to the Cork Podcast Festival. Join us on Sunday, the 27th of August, in the Cork Opera House with special guest Jimmy Barry Murphy, Cork royalty. More guests will be announced very soon. Don't miss out on a great night of conversation and crack in the heart of the Rebel County. For tickets, go to www.corkpodcastfestival.ie/off-the-ball. Wimbledon.
Yeah, a new name will be engraved on the Venus Rosewater dish at Wimbledon today. Last year's beaten finalist Ons Jabeur faces the unseeded Marketa Vondrousova in the women's singles final today. The Moroccan was beaten by Alina Rybakina 12 months ago, and she says she'll be more prepared this time around.
Yeah, last year was my first final of a Grand Slam, so definitely getting closer to winning the Grand Slam that I always wished, you know. I would say I always believe, but, you know, sometimes you would question and doubt it if it's going to happen, if it's ever going to happen. And being in the last stages, I think it does help you believe more. And for me, I'm going to learn a lot from not only Wimbledon's final, but also US Open final, and give it my best. And maybe this year was all about trying two times and getting it right the third time. So let's see.
Yeah, Vondrousova was in the French Open final back in 2019 and has had injuries. And Jabeur obviously lost last year. Tunisia has just gone crazy for her. And to become the first ever player from the Arab world to win would be a big, big deal. She is a national hero in Tunisia. Play due to get underway on Centre Court at 2 o'clock. The golf's underway early, presumably weather related up in Scotland.
It certainly is, yeah. Rory McIlroy with a 2-stroke lead now after 14 holes of his third round at the Scottish Open. The 4-time major winner is 14 under par overall, with Tom Kim of South Korea leading the chase on 12 under. Play started early there, as you say, due to the inclement weather, and McIlroy says he'll just have to deal with whatever the conditions throw at him.
Just, you know, take whatever the conditions and the golf course are going to give us. I don't really have any expectations. I think it would be silly of me to try to, you know, pick a potential target score to get to. So really just embrace the conditions and just sort of make the most of them. But, I know that I'm playing well enough tee to green to give myself some looks and hang in there. So, you know, I'm pretty confident going into the next 2 days, no matter what the weather throws at us.
Yeah, Shane Lowry is flying as well today, and this is really interesting ahead of the Open next week. A 65, 10 under par and a tie for fourth. Tom McKibben has also had a decent enough tournament. He made the cut, moving to 5 under. Padraig Harrington as 7 under par. So McIlroy has got, what, 4 goals of his round to play. He'll probably be with Kim tomorrow, 14 to 12. Lowry in a tie for fourth. Cathal Mullany, you scratch golfer, you. This is encouraging for Rory fans ahead of a tournament which was his last major win in 2014 at Hoylake.
Yeah, it is. He's been really good so far this week, and particularly encouraging, I think, John, was his performance with the putter on Thursday morning. He holds some really nice putts, which I suppose has been the problem for him, hasn't it? Because his tee to green work has been close to flawless in some of the big tournaments, when you think of the US Open and the Open Championship last year. Obviously he would love to win next week and break that major duck, but the Scottish Open title is one of the bigger titles on the world stage now. The course is quite playable. I think the conditions are quite benign there again this morning. They're out a little bit early before the weather comes in. I think one of the stories of the week, although he's not going particularly well today, is Padraig Harrington, and his attitude and his endeavour on the course has been brilliant. He's been spoken of now as potentially a candidate for the Ryder Cup team later on this year. He's spoken about maybe changing up his schedule from the Champions Tour to come back and play a little bit more in Europe.
That would be unprecedented to have a Ryder Cup captain go back then and play in an event.
Yeah, it's an incredible thought to have. And on all known form so far this year, he's been really, really good, and his stats stack up pretty well to the younger players on tour. And you would have to say experience in the team room can be a pretty significant factor as well when it comes to a Ryder Cup. So I really do hope that he does come back and play a little bit more in Europe, just to see can he make it. And he has been spoken about as well next week about a potential candidate to try and maybe win another Open Championship. But he has spoken about how he does feel on links courses, that he can really stand up to the scrutiny, the test of links golf, and can stand up to the other players on tour. So I think even though he's not playing particularly well today, I think he's definitely someone to think about ahead of next week.
Lowry is somebody who's very interesting today, because Lowry has a muddled year. He changed bag, man. Bo Martin's gone. Hasn't really had a brilliant year, but to come into form like that with 64, 65 the last two rounds, get to 10 under par, and he played well in 2014 at Hoylake. Like, we know he's won the Open at Portrush. He's just a very interesting candidate now for next week, Shane Lowry. And obviously McIlroy, who's just dropped a shot, by the way, on 15 as we speak, to 13 under par, shot ahead of Tom Kim, who's this kind of freewheeling, carefree American young lad at 12 under par. And Fleetwood, once again, missed the cut at Hoylake in 2014, but has had an excellent year, played very well at the US Open, and is from the Liverpool area, and would have to consider himself a candidate for next week at Links Golf to win his first major tournament he's never won. We've got the cycling panel coming up at 3, Aidan, with Dan Martin, legend of the saddle, a 2-time stage winner of the Tour de France, Eddie Dunbar, who's such a promising cyclist and could really make an impact in the sport in the next few years if he stays injury-free, and Shane Stokes. What is happening at the Tour de France today?
Yeah, so they're underway in the 14th stage of the Tour this year. Jonas Vingegaard taking a slender 9-second lead into the action today. The peloton has to tackle Col de Juplan before finishing in Morzine. And like I say, the race just underway there.
There's also racing at Navan today, the first off at 1:20, and the July Cup, the feature at Newmarket. Carlos Alcaraz, Novak Djokovic, we could have said that 2 weeks ago and just said to ourselves, we'll come back here in 2 weeks' time and watch the final. And that's exactly what's happened at Wimbledon.
Yeah, it's not unexpected, as you say. I think Alcaraz is an interesting one in that he hasn't got a whole lot of experience on grass, which is interesting leading into that Wimbledon tournament. But it is the top seed against the second seed, Djokovic, bidding for a 24 Grand Slam title, which is just a remarkable record. Djokovic does have form in that he tends to drop sets in some of the big matches, but he always finds a way through, as the great players tend to do. So you probably will give him the nod ahead of tomorrow's final, but I would expect it to be very close.
Big result from the Rugby Championship. Argentina beaten Australia, 34 points to 31 in Australia today. New Zealand 35, South Africa 20. You'd have to wonder about the strength of the Southern Hemisphere teams, especially in Australia. And you'd have to also question that World Cup draw for later this year in September, October. How are Ireland in a quarterfinal kind of bracket with France and New Zealand and South Africa?
I don't know. It's...
Well, I wonder, will they look at doing the draw so later. Far in advance to do it later?
It's so unfair.
Yeah, because so much can change, can't it, in a calendar year, never mind that length of time. So, I mean, it's remarkable.
I'm just chuckling away to myself here because I'm going on to the BBC website. Liverpool offered £40 million for Fabinho by Al Ittihad.
So the Liverpool midfield has been gutted.
Very much so, yeah. Jordan Henderson, of course, he may be on his way out there as well, joining a former Liverpool legend in Stephen Gerrard out there as well. So
is that Al Essifac?
Yes, that's right.
These will be second nature now in a year. We'll all know these names.
Money that Henderson is reportedly being offered is absolutely staggering, something like £700,000 a week, which is just, I mean, it's beyond words almost. And word is that he has agreed a deal verbally with them and that Liverpool... and Al-Ettifaq are arguing over a fee for Henderson. But there is quite a constant stream of players, isn't there, heading towards Saudi Arabia now. It's kind of in the news quite regularly that there are players
and Henderson seems to be this kind of watermark, in that Henderson was seen as this kind of paragon of virtue and somebody who stood up for human rights as Liverpool captain, and particularly, you know, kind of strong during the lockdown football as well, you know, kind of fighting for other players. So it kind of feels like if he gets corrupted and takes this money, and it means that anybody can go. So it'll be very interesting to see. He seems to be happy enough to take the money, and it's kind of the two clubs are kind of having the arguments at the minute. But like you say, If Henderson goes, who's next?
Well, I'm sure he'll have his own say about the whole thing if it does happen. I remember, folks, Braeburn Coffee, the official coffee partner of OTB, whether you're travelling to work in the morning or training in the evening, Braeburn will give you the boost you need, available at Apple Green locations nationwide. Each week we're giving one lucky viewer a €100 voucher to spend on some Braeburn Coffee goodness at an Apple Green store near you. To enter, check out at Off The Ball on Twitter. Just like and retweet our Braeburn competition post and you're in the draw. After the break, we're going to have Drew Wiley, Kevin Nolan and Sean O'Sullivan on the All-Ireland football semi-finals. So is it the verdict from yourselves, lads? Is it going to be a Kerry Dublin final on July 30th?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
Okay, Aidan Delaney, Colm Maloney, thank you so much for joining us at the moment. We're back after the break with the football semi-finals preview.